glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 5th, 2023. And before we raise the topic or the subject, who am I? I want to personally invite you all to come out tomorrow between 2 and 4 p.m. to our Springfield station, 600 West Mason Street in Springfield, Illinois, as we'll have a great open house. We'll celebrate Joyce's 80th birthday with cake. We'll have chicken salad sandwiches on croissants. We'll have this really delicious bean and beef brisket that you can have as a side or on Hawaiian bread. We'll have chips and snacks and drinks and prize giveaways. Some of you that want to have your radio debut will record a little radio announcement. And then also at 2:30 tomorrow, the Singing Men of GNN, I think we're going to sing 8 or 9 songs. So we'll be putting on a concert. Rain or shine, we'll be indoors. If it's raining, if it's sunny, we'll be right outside our studio. We'll have adequate seating for you. So come on out to our special open house in Springfield tomorrow, 2 to 4 p.m. with the Singing Men of GNN singing at 2:30. And realize the first 50 families, one per family, gets a special gift bag filled with all sorts of goodies and treats. You're going to love that. So be among the first 50 families to show up tomorrow at 2 o'clock and then 2:30, the Singing Men, and we'll go 2 to 4. So the reading I gave was 2 Corinthians 5:17, one that many people have memorized. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's being in Christ, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and that will help you determine who you are and whose you are by following Jesus. But Jason, what's the subject? What's our context for today?
Well, if you want to follow along as you're listening, you can turn to Mark chapter 5, and that's where we're going to look at the first 20 verses of Mark chapter 5 in a well-known story. In fact, sometimes I think some of the best stories are the ones that are the most well-known because they're the ones that we tend to jump over or we tend to diminish when we read them because we think we know them. And we never want to come so pridefully to Scripture to think that we know what Scripture says to us or what it's going to say to us because it is living and it is active. It is the voice of the Lord speaking to us. And so how many times have you all read Scripture and you read something different, you hear something different, you find something new, even though you've been reading that same passage forever? Anybody? Hmm. Any kind of stories about that?
Oh, yes.
Lots of times. There have been so many times I've read something, be reading it all my life, and go back and go, how did I never see that before?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Well, we were in the Old Testament in Bible Study Fellowship this year. We just finished up, and yes, many scriptures. I can't name them all that popped out, and even the ladies in my group had the same experience. They said, we read this before, and amazing, because God was preparing.
Yeah.
Us.
Yeah, God has something to say to us. And so we should never become so familiar with a scripture that we go, oh, I know what that says. Oh, I know what that means. Oh, I know that. It's interesting. Sometimes I go and I write sermons, messages on things that I've preached before. And I come and I go, did I even preach this before? Did I even understand what it said? Because the message that God's given me now is so different than the message that he gave me then. And because there's just so much more. It's as if it's like the ground. And as you dig down, you find something. You go, oh, this is what was in the ground. But then you dig down a little deeper and you go, oh, wait, but this is also in the ground. And you keep digging and there's something else and there's something else and there's something else.
Yes.
You know, and somebody once said that you can dig down so far that you strike oil and you think, I've struck oil. But just below that may be diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. And so you want to keep digging and you want to keep going deeper. Now, we've been reading the Bible and we've been asking this question, who am I? As we read these passages, we've been saying, who am I? Trying to look at all the different people that are in these narratives and say, who am I? How am I like this person? You know, there's all different ways that we can read the Bible. We can read the Bible literally. We can read the Bible for effect. We can read the Bible metaphorically. We can read the Bible historically. We can read the Bible all kinds of ways. But one of the things for me personally in reading the Bible this way, it's been helping me to see all of the characters, their roles, their motivations, what they do, what they don't do, why they do what they do, why they may do what they do. I mean, I think that Scripture has so much to say to us. And oftentimes in these people's stories, the Lord is presenting us with like cautionary tales. You know, like, here's a picture I'm going to give you of this certain kind of person. You know, don't be that person. Mm-hmm. Or be aware that you may be that person and you need to be watchful and mindful of that part of or that aspect of your character. I think that that's so important. This is an interesting story that we're going to talk about today, because when I read this with my kids recently, I said, how many characters do you see in the story? And my kids only saw a couple. And then as we kind of dug through the story, they're like, oh, Dad, we didn't see all of that that was happening. So let's go right to Mark chapter 5. Would somebody read it for me, the first 20 verses of Mark chapter 5? And if you want to even do voices, that would be awesome. Dramatic readings.
Seriously?
Sure. That's how we do it in our house. They have all the voices.
They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area.
Wow.
And a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them."
I feel like the rest of us should make up like a pig noise right now or something.
We're like losing control, Jason.
I feel like Ted's taking us somewhere.
Yeah. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them now how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed.
Oh, man, Ted should get a round of applause. So Jesus goes over to the other side. He goes from Capernaum, the area of Capernaum, over to the region of the Decapolis. That's the 10-city region of Alexander the Great, 10 major cities. The thing you really need to know is they're Gentile cities. Now, what's fascinating is when we think Jesus goes over to the other side, we think he goes really far. Like, we think that he takes this huge journey. But if you were actually to stand on the shore of the Sea of the Galilee at Capernaum, you could look to the region of the Gerasenes. In fact, you could probably see on a good clear day the little dots of people walking around. You can see it. It's not that far. You could actually swim it, I bet. It's not really that far. And so what's interesting is you had in Capernaum, you had Yahweh, God-loving Jews. And then right out there in the distance, you had the Gentiles, people who didn't worship God. In fact, they worshiped many gods. and they chased after their own desires. And so you had on one side here, you had the people who loved God with all their heart, soul, and might. And then you had within distance that you could see people who were hopelessly lost. This is why the Bible says that Jesus went over to the other side, because he went from faithfulness over to a place of unfaithfulness. It's really fascinating to me. It said that he came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So listen, Jesus comes onto the scene, and what does he immediately meet?
Satan.
He meets Satan, but he meets what?
The unclean man.
Right, he meets an unclean man. It's important that we say that, because you're right, Gail, that he meets this man who's filled with demons, filled with this kind of demonic presence. But he is a man. He is a man who was created by God, who is loved by God. How do we know he's loved by God? Because Jesus goes to the other side to meet him. Jesus knew he was there. It's no shock to God that Jesus gets out of the boat and this man with an unclean spirit comes to him. And so right away, we have to look at who's our first character in this story.
The dirty man?
No. Let's never get this one wrong. Who's the first character in the story?
Jesus.
Excellent. Jesus is the first character in the story. And so Jesus goes to the other side, and he gets out of the boat, and he encounters this person who is unclean, who is wicked, who is undesirable to be around. Now, we want to be careful to say that we're Jesus, but we are the people who Jesus has called to be his ambassadors in the world. So the first question we have to ask when we get this is do we, in our following of Jesus, travel to places on the other side to meet people who are unclean and undesirable? See, sometimes people won't know that they have a place in the kingdom of God until you go and get them, until you go and find them. And sometimes that means that we have to go into the edges of darkness. Not that when we go in there, we embrace darkness, but that we have to go to the edges of darkness with light to retrieve those who are lost. By the way, isn't it interesting that the Bible uses the language of light and dark? Because people who are in the dark, what? They don't know where they are.
Can't see.
Yeah, they can't see. They're lost. They're feeling around, wondering which way is out. You know, think about when you go in a dark room. Can you find the door?
No.
But if somebody was to open the door and there was light on the other side, you'd know which way to go, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And so there are people who are hopelessly lost, and the reason that they don't know where to go is because nobody has come and got them. Nobody has shined light into that dark place and said, there is a better way, there is another place, this kingdom of God. And we want you to be a part of that. So we never want to say that we're Jesus, because we couldn't embody that role. There's only one person who could do that. It's the sinless Son of God. But we as his ambassadors come bearing the Holy Spirit and the message of Jesus. And so the first character is Jesus. The second one is who?
The dirty man.
Yeah, the unclean man who has unclean spirits. So let's talk a little bit about him. What do you see in the scripture that tells us about him?
The fact that he lived in tombs.
Yeah.
Not the most palatial accommodations.
Yeah, he lives in tombs. What else?
Very strong.
Very strong. No one could bind him, not even a chain. Yeah.
And he'd been like this for a while. People had tried to subdue him repeatedly, and nobody had been able to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we meet him. Is he desirable?
No.
Would you want to hang around with him?
No.
He'd be scared.
Did anybody want to hang around with him?
No one.
No. Okay. But who wants to hang around with him?
Jesus.
Okay, excellent. That's important to know. That's important to know, because what we look at, we just get a few sparse details. We don't even have the experience of being with this man. But we just get a few sparse details, and we realize right away that we're like, I don't want anything to do with that guy. Like, I'm okay if he doesn't come to church on Sunday morning. He would be a little disruptive, you know, with his chains and his yelling and his screaming and his trying to break out of the chains. And who knows? I guarantee you he probably didn't smell good. I guarantee you there was a lot of things that make you go like, I think we'll pass. But who spends time with him?
Jesus.
Yeah. In fact, who travels to the other side to see him?
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this reminds me of Ephesians chapter 2, right? That he went to those who were far and those who were near, and all had access to the Father by one Spirit.
Right.
Jesus goes to whatever distance we are to find us. And oftentimes he sends his people to do it. Are we willing to be those people? Now, who's the third group?
The townspeople?
Yeah, the townspeople. What do you know about the townspeople as we look at the scripture?
They were looking after themselves.
Wow, Elmer, you are so wise. Yes. They wanted to subdue him, not help him. Mm-hmm. They wanted to lock him away or hide him away, not help him. Have you ever come across anybody who maybe has a family member or maybe has somebody in their life that they want to kind of tuck away in a corner so nobody sees that person so that we don't have to acknowledge that they exist? Yes. We just want to subdue them, not show them the grace and love that they deserve?
Yes, I'm with one lady right now.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I was listening to a radio program yesterday, and it was all about this testimony of this guy who was the youngest ever Marine to make E-8. And he was a rough guy. He had been at the Battle of Fallujah. He had been in all these different combat experiences, and he was covered in tattoos. And one day, the general of the Marine Corps was coming to visit the base that they were at, and his commanding officer said, "You know, we appreciate everything that you're doing, and you are amazing in your capacity as a leader in your role, but we wish that day you just might not be here. Because of all your tattoos and all of that, it just doesn't look good." And so there's these people who, even though they have great value, we tuck them away. And that's what these townspeople did. They were more interested in subduing him than they were in loving him. But once again, who comes from the other side to love him?
Jesus.
Jesus does, yes.
He had a plan.
Yep. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he says, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Who's the next group?
The demons.
Listen, what one thing that really shocks me, and it should shock all of us when we read Scripture, is that the demons know who Jesus is and know who God is, sometimes even better than most of the followers of Jesus. Mm-hmm. They have a very clear understanding and picture. I know all kinds of people who Jesus is a great moral teacher, or Jesus is a social justice warrior, or Jesus is this, or Jesus is that. The demons here say Jesus is the Son of the Most High God.
Yes.
What would happen if we as Christians, all of us, kept that at the forefront of our mind? That he is the sinless Son of the Most High God, sent to bring salvation, to bring us the healing that we could never acquire on our own. The demons, for all their demonicness, I don't even know if that's a word, have an incredibly high view of God. They know who God is.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's amazing. For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Why? Because this is a Gentile country. They worship many gods. And so the demons want to stay in that country because it's a lucrative business there amongst the Gentiles, getting them to do all kinds of wickedness and immorality. So the demons say, "Don't send us out of the country, man. We're killing it here. This is a great place to be a demon." And then so they say, "Send us into the pigs. Let us enter them." So the next character in the story is what?
Pigs.
The pigs, yep. Why is the pigs important?
They receive the demons. They just take the demons into themselves without any problem.
Well, how about this, too? Jesus is Jewish, and so in Judaism, pigs are what?
Unclean.
So where are we going to send unclean spirits?
Into
unclean animals, because you ought not. This is how we know, again, that the Gentiles are unclean, because they're eating barbecue. And so Jesus says, "Listen, we're not supposed to eat barbecue. We're not supposed to have bacon or have pigs. So what are we going to do? So let's send the unclean spirits into the unclean animals, because we shouldn't be having anything to do with those unclean animals." Why? Because that's what God said. Not until we get to later in Acts that the sheet descends out of the clouds and God says, "Let there be bacon." And we embrace the bacon for all of its goodness. And then it says this, "The herdsmen fled and told the city and in the country, and the people came to see what had happened, because the spirits went into the pigs, they rushed down the bank, and they jumped into the water." So the next group of people is what?
Herdsmen.
The herdsmen, yep. Yeah. How many people have you met who, when they see God doing something, it upsets their world in such a way that they begin to run and complain about it? They begin to go like, God, anything but that. God, don't do that. God, why did you do that?
That's right.
You know, I've seen people pray that relationships would get healed, and then the relationship gets healed, and they're like, I really don't like spending time with that person. I wish that relationship would be fractured or whatever. Again, and it says in verse 15, we always short on time. They came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because when God shows up, he upsets our world in a good way. Mm-hmm. But he upsets. See, for them, they knew what to do with the demon-possessed man. We subdue him. We keep him outside the city. God says, no, no. He's in his right mind now. So that means now he's a part of you. He's a part of your community. He's a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know if we like that. We don't have a place for the recently once demon-possessed man in our community. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. I've been in places where Jesus is so powerfully at work that people wish that he wasn't. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. How many people you know that when they begin to follow Jesus, all they want to do is follow Jesus? They want to just spend time with Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. And what does Jesus command us to do?
Go.
Yeah, to go. Therefore, go and tell. That's what Jesus tells him. Jesus says, I realize it. You just got saved, and you really just want to spend time with me. You know, me and Jesus, we're just going to spend time together. I have a mission for you. The minute that Jesus saves you, he sends you on mission to go and to tell. And then that's what he did. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one more group. Does anybody know what the last group is? There's one more group of people in the story.
It's the town people, isn't it?
Nope.
Yeah,
one last group of people.
Back to his family and said, tell them what happened.
Nope. One last group of people. Anybody?
He went to Decapolis.
Okay.
And the people were just amazed that this man could come back and be a normal human being.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It's the one group of people that we don't immediately catch. It's the disciples.
Ah.
They went across with Jesus, but what didn't they do? They didn't get out of the boat. They didn't follow Jesus into a place that was dark because they were afraid. They didn't want to be a part of that. They wanted to go back over to Capernaum where things were safe and things were good and they knew how everything worked and they knew when it was time to worship and when it was time to pray and when it was time to read the scriptures and when it was time to follow God. They wanted to go over there where it was safe. And when they went with Jesus over to the other side, they didn't get out of the boat. And so I wonder sometimes, are we like the disciples? That we're willing to follow Jesus to a point. But there's a point where all of a sudden we go, that's too far, Lord. I'm fearful. I'm afraid. It upsets my world. I don't know what to do with that. I'll just stay in the boat.
That's me.
And yet Jesus calls Peter to do what? To get out of the boat.
Yes.
To do the impossible. And so once again, we read this familiar story, and we find all kinds of people. Some of them are apparent. Some of them are shocking. Some of them are ones that we go, I never thought about the disciples. I never thought about the fact that they didn't get out of the boat. So as always, we end with that question, who am I in this story? And how is that a cautionary tale for me so that I can guard that space in my life, so that I can pray for the Lord to give me the strength to get out of the boat when Jesus calls me to go to the other side?
And I'm thinking, Jason, when we get out of the boat, we got to be like Peter, but focus our eyes on Jesus throughout the time so we can be effective for his glory. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of today's program, and I hope to see you in person tomorrow at our open house at our Springfield studios, 2 to 4 p.m., with the Singing Men of GNN singing at 2:30. Come enjoy a light lunch, some gift giveaways, some birthday cake, and a lot of fun and great fellowship with the WLUJ and Great News Radio staff. Hope to see you tomorrow, 2 to 4 p.m. at our Springfield studio. And thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and some friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.